Bibles, please, for our second reading, now from the Old Testament. And we'll turn to Ezekiel chapter 32. Ezekiel chapter 32, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say unto him, Thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas. And thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troubledst the waters with thy feet, and fouledst the rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company of many people, and they shall bring thee up in my net. Then will I leave thee upon the land. I will cast thee forth upon the open field, and I will cause all the fowls of heaven to remain upon thee, and I will fill the beasts of the whole earth with thee. And I will lay thy flesh upon the mountains, and fill the valleys with thy height. I will also water with thy blood the land wherein thou swimmest, even to the mountains, and the rivers shall be full of thee. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven, and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. I will also vex the hearts of many people when I shall bring thy destruction among the nations into the countries which thou hast not known. Yea, I will make many people amazed at thee, and their kings shall be horribly afraid for thee when I shall brandish my sword before them, and they shall tremble at every moment, every man for his own life, in the day of thy fall. For thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. By the swords of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall, the terrible of the nations, all of them, and they shall spoil the pomp of Egypt, and all the multitude thereof shall be destroyed. I will destroy also all the beasts thereof from beside the great waters, neither shall the foot of man trouble them any more, nor the hoofs of beasts trouble them. Then will I make their waters deep, and cause their rivers to run like oil, saith the Lord God. When I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, and the country shall be destitute of that whereof it was full, when I shall smite all them that dwell therein, then shall they know that I am the Lord. This is the lamentation wherewith they shall lament her. The daughters of the nations shall lament her. They shall lament for her, even for Egypt, and for all her multitude, saith the Lord God. It came to pass also in the 12th year, in the 15th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt, and cast them down, even her and the daughters of the famous nations, unto the nether parts of the earth, with them that go down to the pit. Whom dost thou pass in beauty? Go down, and be thou laid with the uncircumcised. They shall fall in the midst of them that are slain by the sword. She is delivered to the sword. Draw her and all her multitudes. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell with them that help him. They are gone down. They lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Asher is there, and all her company. His graves are about him, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, whose graves are set in the sides of the pit. And her company is round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which caused terror in the land of the living. There is Elam, and all her multitude, round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which are gone down uncircumcised into the nether parts of the earth, which caused their terror in the land of the living, yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. They have set her a bed in the midst of the slain with all her multitude. Her graves are round about him, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Though their terror was caused in the land of the living, yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. He is put in the midst of them that be slain. There is Meshech, Tubal, and all her multitude. Her graves are round about him, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword, though they caused their terror in the land of the living. They shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen of the uncircumcised, which are gone down to hell with their weapons of war, and they have laid their swords under their heads, but their iniquities shall be upon their bones, though they were the terror of the mighty in the land of the living. Yea, thou shalt be broken in the midst of the uncircumcised, and shall lie with them that are slain with the sword. There is Edom, her kings, and all her princes, which with their might are laid by them that were slain by the sword. They shall lie with the uncircumcised, with them that go down to the pit. There be the princes of the north, all of them, and all the Zidonians, which are gone down with the slain. With their terror, they are ashamed of their might, and they lie uncircumcised with them that be slain of the sword, and bear their shame with them that go down to the pit. Pharaoh shall see them, and shall be comforted over all his multitude, even Pharaoh and all his army, slain by the sword, saith the Lord God. For I have caused my terror in the land of the living, and he shall be laid in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that are slain with the sword, even Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, there are a few things I think that are important to remember about this chapter. The first is, what day are we? Around what year? Well, let's just round it. Let's say we're somewhere around, 580 B.C. When did the children of Israel come out of Egypt? Well, that's either going to be 1450 or 1230, depending on how you do the chronology. So we are at least 700 years, 800 years removed. 700 or 800 years have gone by since the Lord had for himself a great witness in Egypt that the Egyptians in large part turned away from. Yet the long suffering of God waited some 750 or 800 years before this destruction is pronounced upon them. I think that's significant. I think that we might, in certain terms, remember that God's timetable for repentance, that God's timetable for those unbelievers of the world to come to Him, often they're much longer than ours. That we think that things are perhaps a little bit more urgent. Remember that God is not hurried and He's not harried. He is in perfect command of all of history. And so there is a time that does come upon nations that turn away from the Lord. But the Lord has given in history, hasn't He? Centuries upon centuries for repentance. So that's the first point that I'd like to raise here. The second point that I'd like to raise is that when the Lord does judge, He reminds them of His former judgments, and that they should have turned even back then. And He does so in two ways here, doesn't He? In this first section, He speaks to them about their river being filled with blood. That remind anybody of anything? In the days of Moses, when Moses put his staff into the river Nile, and it was turned to blood, and the Egyptians at that time should have repented and called God the Lord their God. But they did not. And the second thing that He uses to remind them is what? The darkness. Did any of you hear that? the darkness that will come over them. Remember, one of the plagues that Moses was told to raise up over Egypt was that there was a darkness such that could be felt. And for 3 days, the Egyptians abode in their houses and they were afraid to go out lest they would bump into something or fall into something or something like that. They couldn't see their hand in front of their face for 3 days and three nights. And so the Lord says, I'm going to bring a darkness over Egypt again. Well, if you're an Egyptian, you're going to remember that. You're going to remember that these judgments came from the Lord. And so even in this advertisement, now we don't know how many Egyptians there were to hear it, because this prophecy is given for the benefit of God's people. Still, God's people then will take comfort in knowing that the Lord's judgments, they are secure. Century upon century upon century. So that's the first section. And that takes us down to verse 16. Then 17 through the end of the chapter, we won't go into a lot of detail here, but there is something that I think is very much worth noticing. Well, two things. The first is that the Egyptians will try to comfort themselves. I hope you see the irony there. The Egyptians, when they are cast down into their graves, what are they going to do? They're going to look around and see all these other nations that are in their graves too, and they're going to try to comfort them. This is a statement of irony. The Lord is speaking by way of irony through His prophet that, you know, here they are in the grave with all these other uncircumcised that are in the grave, and they'll try to comfort themselves because, you know, misery loves company kind of thing. So that's the first thing, and there's some irony going on there. But the second thing is who's among them. And this ought to give us all pause, because not only is Asher mentioned, not only Mesek and Tubal, not only Egypt, but Edom. And who is Edom again? That is brother Esau, who indeed was circumcised, but will be laid down with the uncircumcised. Isn't that what it says? Verse 29, there is Edom, her kings and all her princes, which with their might are laid down by them that were slain by the sword. They shall lie with the uncircumcised and with them that go down to the pit. Certainly for Esau, that is a more severe judgment because of the exposure that Esau and Edom had to what the Lord will call elsewhere the brotherly covenant, the special revelation of God, that Edom, Esau himself, was indeed the elder son of Isaac and despised his birthright and gave away his blessing. And so they will lie down with the uncircumcised, although the sign of the covenant was upon them. This tells us all, it reminds us all, that circumcision in that day, baptism in our day, is not effective apart from faith. Baptism must be coupled with faith. Those of you that have been baptized, and I'm looking around, I don't see anyone that hasn't, at least not to my knowledge. We must couple those promises that are uttered in baptism with faith. We must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must call upon His name in due time. We must believe in Him, and we must trust and rest in Him for our eternal salvation, and never think that because I'm baptized, I'm secure. Right? The sacraments are signs and seals that have to do with faith and are not indeed working in and of themselves those inward realities to which they point. All right, with that then, let's close. We'll rise up and